Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church. I have a few announcements for you this morning before we begin our time together. First, I wanted you to know that on Tuesday evenings we have a Bible study where we are working our way through the Gospel of Mark. It's something that we do via Zoom every week, and it's nothing you have to have been in before or have a commitment to be in the future. If you want to pop in and just check it out, that's totally fine. We send that information out every week via our church email list. But if you want it and aren't getting it, please reach out and let us know, and we'll be happy to provide it with you. Also wanted you to know that we are serving a meal on Wednesdays, every Wednesday, from 5:30 until 6:30 for anyone who would be in need. There's no cost, no requirements, only that you show up and drive through our parking lot and we'll give you a meal to go. So if that's something that you need and can benefit from, then please feel free to stop by, and we're happy to help you out. We ask that you enter in off Center Road and follow the parking lot through so that we can maintain coherent traffic flow and everyone's safety. Finally, a reminder that the food pantry is open again and functioning, and that they distribute food on the first Monday and the third Wednesday of the month. So on the Wednesdays, it's in the evening from 4:30 until 5:30. And if you call us, if you need any need to get a hold of them, please let us know. Otherwise, they ask that you show up and follow the same traffic pattern coming in off of Center Road. And on Mondays, it's at 11 o'clock, and that is the first Monday of the month. So we hope that if you are in need of that assistance, you will join us and receive it. Now let us listen to our prelude as we prepare our hearts, our minds, our souls for worship.
Will you please join with me in today's call to worship? Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, yet we trust in our own works rather than in God's grace. Jesus calls each of us to take up our cross. Yet rather than allow our selfishness and sin to be put to death, we cling to what we know. Jesus calls us to follow him. Yet we fear where faith will lead and what it might change in our lives. In this moment of silence, we confess the sin that separates us from one another and from God. Let us worship God, who transforms and refines us.
Now let us join in an attitude and a time of prayer as we gather for our time of prayer. And I would ask that you would join with me in the unison prayer. This is love, not that you spoke words of comfort, walked with the unclean and unloved, shared wisdom, bread and wine, brought healing into lives and challenged the status quo. This is love, that you spoke the word of God, walked a painful road to the cross, shared living water, bread of life, brought salvation to the world, and died for the sake of all. This is love. It is a seed sown in the ground which germinates, blossoms, and spreads its sweet perfume. Now let us offer up our silent prayers of our hearts, our minds, and our souls to God as we reflect and use music to guide us through our time of prayer. we gather this morning and we lift up to you many things. We lift up those in our lives who are suffering with illness, those who are missing loved ones, those who struggle with loss. We ask that you would be with all of us as we continue this journey and this mission of life, and that we would have the strength through the power of your Spirit to engage in the labors of which we are called. Sustain us, O God, in our journey, and put us to what you will, as each of us strives to be a more full disciple and to create a better world in the image of you and your Son. Lord, be with us and help us as we face challenges, that we would follow your lead in those times of challenge, and that we would remember when we offer up this prayer that we are about to pray, they are not hollow words, but are indeed an ideal that we raise ourselves to. And so we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen.
Today's first lesson is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness, combined with our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through him, and we boast in the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems, because we know that trouble produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. While we were still weak, at the right moment, Christ died for ungodly people. It isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might dare to die for a good person. But God shows his love for us, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. May God give us understanding of this scripture.
Our second lesson today is taken from Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. In the third year of the rule of Judah's king Joachim, Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem and attacked it. The Lord handed Judah's king Joachim over to Nebuchadnezzar, along with some of the equipment from God's house. Nebuchadnezzar took these to Shinar, to his own God's temple, putting them in his God's treasury. Nebuchadnezzar instructed his highest official, Ashpenaz, to choose royal descendants and members of the ruling class from the Israelites, good-looking young men, without defects, skilled in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, conversant with learning, and capable of serving in the king's palace. Ashpenaz was to teach them the Chaldean language and its literature. The king assigned these young men daily allotments from his own food and from the royal wine, and Ashpenaz was to teach them for 3 years, so that at the end of that time, they could serve before the king. Among these young men from the Judeans were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But the chief official gave them new names. He named Daniel Belteshazzar, Hananiah Shadrach, Mishael Meshach, and Azariah Abednego. Daniel decided that he wouldn't pollute himself with the king's rations or the royal wine, and he appealed to the chief official in hopes that he wouldn't have to do so. Now God had been established faithful loyalty between Daniel and the chief official. But the chief official said to Daniel, I'm afraid of my master, the king, who has mandated what you are to eat and drink. What will happen if he sees your faces looking thinner than the other young men in your group? The king will have my head because of you. So Daniel spoke to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Why not test your servants for 10 days? You could give us a diet of vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance to the appearance of the young men who eat the king's food. Then deal with your servants according to what you see. The guard decided to go along with their plan and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked better and healthier than all the young men who were eating the king's food. So the guard kept taking away their rations and the wine they were supposed to drink and gave them vegetables instead. And God gave knowledge, mastery of all literature and wisdom to these four men. Daniel himself gained understanding of every type of vision and dream. When the time came to review the young men as the king had ordered, the chief official brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. When the king spoke with them, he found no one as good as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they took their place in the king's service. Whenever the king consulted them about any aspect of wisdom and understanding, he found them head and shoulders above all the dream interpreters and enchanters in his entire kingdom. And Daniel stayed in the king's service until the first year of King Cyrus. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. I don't know how much many of you know about Daniel, aside from his famous encounter of being in a lion's den. Often when we hear synopsis of the Bible, Daniel is reduced to this small event. But I think we have to look at the wider book of Daniel if we are to understand more about Daniel and his experience, both in the lion's den and as a servant of God. We clearly get an image here in the beginning, as Daniel has been taken, of his commitment, his relationship with God, and the level of trust that Daniel has in the Lord. Today, my sermon is titled, What's the Real Lion's Den? Because we may think that the lion's den is where Daniel encounters physical, actual lions. But I would argue that here out the beginning of his time in the court, Daniel is in the lion's den. Yes, he has been taken. Yes, he has been trained and watched over by the king's servants. But still, we must recognize that he is a foreigner in the king's land who serves at the king's bequest, but who could be removed or killed at the king's bequest at any time, as we will see later on. And so, out the gate, Daniel is in the lion's den. He is in a precarious position where his survival is dependent only upon his ability and his skill to serve the king. This is the real lion's den. But Daniel shows himself and his companions show themselves to be upright and holy before God, to honor God above all else. And we will see that throughout their time in Babylon, they will be tested again and again. And yet they will find their faith justified. And it presents for us a challenge and a reminder of what it means to live as disciples of Jesus Christ, and what it means to follow God in our lives, and what it means for the importance of being justified with God. Justification is something that is often talked about by Paul, and it is often talked about by James and many others in the scriptures because of the importance of being justified. It is a confirmation of our faith and of our relationship with God. It is part of our process of growth that we are seen to have faith, to live into our faith, even when things get difficult, that we are able to stand and say, I am with God, God is with me, and I have faith. Daniel is justified. But we have been justified and made clean by God, by Christ dying on the cross for us. In our lesson from Romans, Paul does not say, "And so, because you were perfect, Christ died for you." No, in our lesson from Romans, it says, "Even though we were not yet perfect, Christ died for us. While we were still weak, at the right moment, Christ died for ungodly people." It isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might dare to die for a good person. But God shows his love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul continues to say, "So now that we have been made righteous by his blood, we can be even more certain that we will be saved by God through Christ." Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This is part of the mystery of faith that we proclaim, and it's something that we need to remember as we face the lion's den that is our world. Because we are to be a people of God, not a people of the world. We are to remain committed and attuned to the work of the Spirit as a Pentecost people. We are to see the world in a new way as a resurrection people, and we are to remember always that God died for us while we were yet sinners because God loves us. Now, there has been so much going on in the world that it may be difficult to keep track of every single thing that has happened, but one thing that has taken place that we are recognizing is that there are droves, both named and unnamed, of persons of color being killed, harassed, brutalized, murdered by the police. And we have to ask ourselves questions. There are those that look at the people who have been killed and try to justify their killing, saying, "Well, yeah, they shouldn't have died, but they weren't a great person anyway. Look at their past. Look at how terrible they were. Look at who they were. Look at what they had done. This clearly shows that they should not be." One of the things that we need to make sure we do not engage in the world is the whataboutism. Whataboutism is when an argument is brought up and a person is lifted up and conversations around difficult topics happen, and our response to a difficult topic and to something we don't want to hear is to say, "What about?" And to lift up some similar but not the same example. But when people have talked about George Floyd lately, or Breonna Taylor lately, or anyone who has been harassed or murdered or assaulted by the police, often we look back into their history and find reasons that it is not good, but it is okay, and that we should not lift them up and exalt them as one of the saints among us. But we cannot do this, because that gives into the way of the world, which says that you only matter if you contribute in the way that we think you should contribute, and if you have any blemish on your record, then you must not be perfect. If that's the case, then I am not perfect on that. I've got a couple speeding tickets. I've got some things that I got warnings for, but that they let me go because they said, "Well, you're a white guy, so you can go," because I have that level of white privilege. And I was in college on the edge of North Omaha, where the police were more worried about enforcing racial segregation than they were about white kids from the nearby university. And so they said, "Well, just don't do it again. Don't run that red light. You can leave." So anyone could look back and make that same argument about me, but we engage in this, and we should not, because Paul says God died for us, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. But we have been made righteous. The lion's den of the world tells us that we should only care about those who fit the way that we think things should go. We should only care about those who mow their lawns the way we mow our lawns. We should only care about those who listen to the music that we like to listen to, who vote the way we want them to vote, who support the politician we think they should support. who support the troops or don't support the troops, who are pro-war or anti-war, who are pro-police or anti-police. The list can go on and on. Pro-Michigan, anti-Michigan, pro-Ohio State, anti-Ohio State. We can do this with so many things, but we determine people's worths based not on the redemption of God and the love of God that is in every person's heart. We too often determine their worth based solely upon our presupposition of who they should be. And someone makes a mistake and we say, well, you have messed up, so you are not worthy. But this is not who we are to be as disciples. That is not who Paul says God is. God is the one who died for us while we were not perfect and who loves us. And Daniel and his friends are definitely not perfect because they are human. And yet they go into the lion's den, and right out the gate, instead of taking the food of the king, he says, let's not do that. Just give us vegetables and water, and we will be fine. And the guard says, but what if it doesn't work out? It's my head on the line. And Daniel says, just give it 10 days. We'll see how things look. Then we can make a determination. And they are shown that they look better than everybody else, and God rewards them for their faithfulness to not give in to the ways of this new land, but to instead keep themselves righteous with God. And so it is that they become the best in the king's court, because they have the courage and commitment to remain faithful. And as we are going to see in the coming weeks, their faith will be challenged. They will be challenged. Their redemption and their justification with God will be challenged by the world in which they find themselves, and they are going to have to make a determination of, do they stand up for God or do they stand up for people? They will have to make the determination of what is important, nation or Lord. They will have to make the determination of what truly matters and who they are truly supposed to be. A real lion's den situation where they are literally going to put their lives on the line for their faith. What would it look like if we put our lives on the line for our faith? If we stood side by side with those who protest injustice and inequality in the world, what would it look like? Already we have seen some who have been arrested, some who have died after being tear gassed by police, some who have been severely injured by non-lethal, quote-unquote, weaponry. We have seen those who have stood up and said, this is not right, just as people stood up in the 1960s and said, this is not right, and allied themselves and said, we want to give you our support and our privilege to help be heard. People now do the same thing, and it is challenging. But they look, and we should look, in places in Scripture like Daniel, who says, this is how we're going to do it, even if it won't be the easiest, because this is how we are supposed to do it. We look and listen to the words of Paul, who says, no, you're not perfect, but God loves you anyway. God does not wait for you to be perfect to show up for you. Neither should we wait until we feel perfect to show up for our neighbor or for God in the world. So may we have the challenge in the lion's den to stand up for God, to stand up for what is right, and to stand up for one another, to stand up for our neighbor, and to help hold them up when the world threatens to knock them down. Amen.
When our confidence is shaken in beliefs, we thought secure, when the body is active in the tensions of a faith not yet mature. Soulless systems void of meaning freeze the spirit into stone. Always our researches lead us to the ultimate unknown. Faith must work on full circle to its source in God alone. In the discipline of praying, when it's hardest to believe, in the drudgery of caring, when it's not enough to grieve, faith maturing lends acceptance of the insights we receive. God is love and thus redeems us in the Christ we crucify. This is God's eternal answer to the world's eternal why. May we in this faith maturing be content to live and die.
We come now to our service of offertory. And I know we cannot be together to physically place our offerings here upon the altar, but we can offer ourselves through our spirit. We can give our gifts online or through the church mailbox, checks only, please. And we can offer ourselves to our neighbor and to the world in which we live. So now let us pause to give our gifts and our offerings and a time of reflection. Would you join with me in the doxology? Now let us join in the unison prayer. Lord, we place much upon the altar for you, but most of all we ask that we could place ourselves upon the altar. Help us to be people of generosity. As we gather and strive to live more fully as your disciples, may we allow you to fully enter our hearts and lives. Amen. Hey, Hope Church family. As you prepare to go back into your day, I know you may be thinking, this is tough work. It's tough stuff, and I don't want to have to do it. And I don't want to have to work and grow because it just sounds like too much. Well, if any of you remember the garden I had built and shown you when it was just dirt in a box, look behind me. It's growing. Now, there's not anything to eat yet. There's no food that's growing yet, but there's the potential and the hope. And there's growth takes time, but change is possible. So may you accept the courage and the grace that God gives you to grow and change just as we are equipped and called to do. Let's join in our benediction response.
God be with you till we meet again. Neath the swing securely hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet.